and welcome to another preview edition of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns, and we welcome you guys back to this preview edition as we're looking at the Middle Tennessee State Blue Raiders taking on the Golden Gophers this weekend. This is a 1-1 football team, and the Blue Raiders heading into TCF Bank Stadium. They got blown out their first game against the Vanderbilt. What is Vanderbilt now?
Vanderbilt Commodores
of the SEC, and then they headed up to Syracuse in upstate New York, and they pulled it off last week in a 30-23 victory. So, Luke, it's Thursday. One more day of the work week left. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling okay. You know, Ryan, I think when we were doing our preview edition, we penciled this game as probably the biggest test of the non-conference season. Yep. And I still think that holds true, going into this game. I think that there's no question that this is the team that probably is going to give them the best challenge in the non-conference season. Currently, the Gophers are a 10-point favorite at home. Maybe not a huge surprise there. I think I would expect the line to be a little bit closer, but it's not. Especially coming off the road victory for Middle Tennessee State. Okay, let's maybe start with, like we typically do, injuries. Where are we at injury-wise? And I guess we probably need to touch on the fact that, there's not only injuries, but there's also people that just won't be dressing.
Yeah, so injury-wise, I know that it really hasn't been talked about a whole lot, but Jared Weiler, as of Thursday here as we're recording this, I'm not really expecting to play this weekend. Again, his left, I think it was a left ankle, left lower leg, got rolled up on pretty good by Rodney Smith. And again, with a bye week coming up and with how well Connor Olson played in his limited opportunities in the fourth quarter against Oregon State, let's let that ankle heal up and make sure it's ready for Maryland. That's about the only injury that I know about. And then the other elephant in the room is the Demery Croft situation. It came out Tuesday that Demery will not be dressing. We kind of talked about it a little bit on Monday. Again, I'm not going to give any details. I have not given any details anywhere for anybody listening in terms of what the deal is, but he is away from the team. So there is no definite timetable in terms of when Demery will be back. He's got some things to take care of off the field before he can come back on and start contributing. So again, that plays a large part in a two quarterback battle. Well, there's only one guy left standing, and that's Connor Rota. So injury-wise, outside of Jared Weiler, heading into the third game of the season, I think Minnesota's sitting pretty good.
Yeah, it's very rare. I mean, coincidentally, I happened to see a tweet, the Vikings injury report, or they go day by day, basically, with who practices and who's limited and whatnot. But it is
I would love to have that kind of information, but how stingy college football coaches are about information. So.
But my point is like the fact that they have so few names, like even related onto that depth chart, given the previous history, that's a testament at least to this training staff, especially early in the season.
Yeah. Again, there's been a lot of changes behind the scenes in terms of strength and conditioning and with the training staff. I can tell you that there's a lot of people around the program that are much happier with the strength and conditioning results that Minnesota is seeing now than what they were used to being able to seeing against the old staff. So again, it's been a testament. There's been far less injuries, especially when you look on the offensive defensive line. Again, Jared Weiler getting rolled up is just coincidental. It's football. That's what happens. But you're not seeing any concussions or head injuries, something that really plagued Minnesota under Jerry Kill and Tracy Clay. So as you mentioned, again, this is a testament to PJ Fleck's philosophy, and it's a testament to this new training staff.
All right, Ryan, let's start with when the Gophers are on defense, mostly because, quite frankly, going into this game, when we talked about this in the season preview edition, we were talking a lot about Middle Tennessee State's quarterback and stud wide receiver Ricky James. So let's talk about their offense. When Middle Tennessee State is on offense right now, they're averaging about 217 yards through the air and about 71 yards on the ground. Not a lot of balance there in terms of yard production. So what do you expect to see from this Blue Raider offense against the Gophers?
Well, the nice thing about it for Rob Smith is he has two legitimate game tapes to look at. I think I might have touched on that when we opened the show, but I can't stress on how nice of a a benefit that is for Minnesota compared to, you look at the flip side for Middle Tennessee State. Minnesota's beaten Buffalo and Oregon State pretty handily. And again, Minnesota's offense specifically has been extremely vanilla in the second halves of games. So there's not a lot of things that you can really draw up schematically wise that I just anticipate some newer wrinkles. But when you do look at Middle Tennessee State, we talked about it in the preview edition of the season, that I was very nervous about this Middle Tennessee State team. That starts with their quarterback and their wide receiver. Brent Stockstill is the quarterback. He was second team All-Conference USA last year because he threw for over 3,000 passing yards and 30 passing touchdowns. That'll do it. That'll get you on the All-Conference team.
Yeah.
And he's coming off a performance where he was 22 of 36 for 269 and 3 passing touchdowns, which got him co-offensive player in the week in the Conference USA. So, again, he's coming in hot. But the thing to watch here is Stockstill has a shoulder injury, and I believe it's his throwing shoulder. We heard early in the week that he was getting an MRI, and that was when Middle Tennessee State last spoke with the media. Again, with how secretive college coaches are, I don't anticipate to really know his status up until about 40 minutes until game time, when we get to see who's dressed, who's taking first team snaps with who. But the anticipation is that Mr. Stockstill is going to play. And again, this is a quarterback unlike anything Minnesota has seen thus far. And I don't know that they'll face a better quarterback maybe until November. So, and the guy who's going to be catching all the passes, the one who's commanding north of 40% of his target share, is All-American Richie James. Again, someone I've talked about a lot on this podcast as being the most worrisome player, skill position player, in terms of that Minnesota's defense has faced thus far, because his skill set goes against Minnesota's weaknesses. And again, an All-American receiver as a sophomore last year, he had over 100 receptions for over 1,600 yards and 12 touchdowns. So he's doing very well for himself, and through two games against Vanderbilt and Syracuse, again, better than most of the teams in the Conference USA, he's got 18 catches for over 200 yards and 2 touchdowns. So if you kind of average that out, that's like 9 for 100 in the score. So he's been getting his against better competition. So it's going to be very interesting to see what Rob Smith decides to do in terms of Minnesota's weaknesses per se on this defense are Antonio Chenault and Keandre Thomas. They just don't have a lot of experience. And specifically, Chenault has been someone that opposing offenses have really liked to pick on when they pass the ball. Now, is Rob Smith going to put these two guys on an island? I would anticipate that probably not being the case the majority of the time. I would have to think that Minnesota is going to bring a safety over the top to make sure that if Richie James is going to beat them, I mean, he's going to make two people miss. Or if they're just going to schematically take Richie James out of it, they're going to have to throw the ball to somebody else, which, again, Stockstill has thrown the ball 60 times through two games. So 30 times, on average, 30 times a game. And Richie has 25 of those 60 targets. So he is targeted early and often. And Luke, do you have the targeting in terms of their total targets pulled up in front of you right now?
Yeah.
So Football Study Hall.
Yeah. So currently, Stockstill is 40 for 67. And it is as far as target rates go, Ricky James is commanding 41.7. Ty Lee is commanding 23.3 of targets. And Patrick Smith is getting about 15%. Everybody else is under 10%.
Yeah. And neither one of the two leading target guys for Middle Tennessee State are Richie James, the All-American, and then Ty Lee. They're commanding about 65% of the targets, and they're both 5'9". So it's not like this is going to be a giant mismatch for someone like Chenault. Again, Chenault's about 5'9". Keandre is going to have actually a couple inches on him, but this is a very, very good route runner, someone who knows how to create separation once he catches the ball and then get north and south very quickly. So in terms of how Minnesota matches up, well, let's look at the running side of things. We've talked a lot about the passing side. Middle Tennessee State, through two games, can literally not run the ball at all. They've been trying. They haven't had a whole lot of success doing it. But, I mean, A for effort there. In terms of, I believe they are running the ball for, they've ran it 59 times for 2.4 yards a carry. So they legit can't run the ball. And I don't think that really anybody has had a lot of success doing it. Their leading guy is actually listed as a wide receiver, and he's actually their second leading target guy as well, and Ty Lee, and he's got 23 carries for 58 yards. And the next closest is the quarterback at 16, and then they have a running back listed who only has 7 carries. So Ty Lee is only averaging 2.5 yards a carry. Stockstill is averaging a little bit north of that, but again, they've really struggled to run the ball. And when you look at where Minnesota's strength is on defense, well, it's stopping the run, where Minnesota's averaging 2.7 yards a carry against them. So you're going to see a lot of passes against this Minnesota defense. I wouldn't be surprised if we get in that 35 to 40 range, especially as I think game script is going to make sure that the Blue Raiders are going to have to pass the ball. So I'm just so curious to see what Rob Smith does. And that's the biggest thing, is how do you stop Richie James? Because, I mean, he's just such an electric target in the passing game. And the other thing to really watch with Middle Tennessee State is, I know that they beat Syracuse, but Middle Tennessee State's offense is 3-for-24 on third down, that 12% conversion rate, which is abysmal. And Rob Smith's defenses are allowing less than 30% of third downs to be converted against them. So if Minnesota can just get off the field on third down, they can really try and implement what I think that their strategy is going to be, in terms of let's bleed the clock, hold the ball, because Middle Tennessee State's offense and Richie James specifically can't beat you if he's not on the field.
Yeah, you look at like Stockstill's yards per attempt. It's only at 5.3 yards per attempt. I'd imagine, you know, as they're going to defend this, they're going to just try and keep everything in front of them, given, you know, what, they're 3-for-24 in third downs. Like, get them into third down and try to keep it in longer third downs if possible. But I got to imagine they're just going to try and keep everything in front of them and just don't get beat deep.
Yeah, and the other thing to note here is Minnesota's pass rusher. So say Minnesota keeps getting on third downs, which they've had a lot of success in doing, and Middle Tennessee State's offense hasn't had a lot of success in doing. Stockstill has been sacked 6 times through 2 games.
Yeah.
So Minnesota getting, I believe it was 3 or 4 sacks last game. You know, it looks like that should continue heading into this game, especially Minnesota gets them at home. Again, the crowd noise plays a factor into things. So, again, Minnesota, as you noted, I would anticipate them trying to keep everything in front of them and just try to make sure that if they're going to beat you, they're going to dink and dunk your way down the field and not a big shot play from Richie James.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's take a look at when the Gophers are on offense. So we know that the Gophers, you know, have had some explosive plays in the first half in particular, both actually in the first quarter. But when Minnesota's on offense, you know, they're averaging about 198 yards in the passing game, about 211 in the running game, you know, fairly balanced, albeit those are some pretty chunk plays in the passing game. But Middle Tennessee State, in terms of yards allowed, they're at 239. In the passing game, they're actually pretty stout in the run. They're only giving up 98.5 yards a game, and currently they're giving up 25 points a game to the Gophers, 32.5 average. So it, you know, the Gophers obviously have emphasized the run. As we saw in the win against Oregon State, they definitely ran quite a bit. I think it was 58 times to 8 passing attempts. Curious to see how the Gophers are going to go at this, given the stout running defense of Middle Tennessee State.
And you talk about it right there. That's probably the biggest thing and a biggest key for Minnesota, in terms of if they're going to be putting points up, they're going to have to run the ball somewhat, and that's something that this Blue Raider defense has been very stingy against their 2 games. And again, 2 better quality opponents than what the Gophers have faced, probably, in Syracuse and Vanderbilt. And this Blue Raider defense has 84 rushing attempts against them, so 42 a game on average, and they're only giving up 2.3 yards a carry. Like, that's fantastic, especially considering the, you know, again, the quality of opponent. So you look at Minnesota's offensive line last week. Yes, they allowed a running game to go for 250 yards on the ground and 5 rushing scores. But this is going to be their biggest test, you know, yet that they've faced. And again, without Jared Weiler, so you're looking at a very thin offensive line now, that Vincent Calhoun's at right guard, Connor Olson at center, Garrison right at left guard. Again, Minnesota's got about 1 swing tackle left in Sam Schluter before they have to start getting pretty creative in there. So how do the big boys up front respond? Again, I thought they responded well going from game 1 to game 2, from Buffalo to Oregon State. Now, here's the big test, is against this Middle Tennessee State team that, again, I didn't think that they were going to be this stingy against the run coming into the season. Well, I think 84 attempts through 2 games is a pretty good sample size compared to most, and they're going to have to be able to find something on the ground, because, again, far too often, Roddy Smith and Shannon Brooks were getting hit in the backfield from places they probably shouldn't be getting hit from. I do understand that Oregon State was +1 in the box for most of the game, but again, where that +1 was coming through wasn't the +1 that I think Oregon State was anticipating. So Minnesota's offensive line has a big test ahead of them, especially on the pass blocking side of things. Again, I think they've been extremely good in terms of pass blocking wise, but they're going to be facing someone by the name of Walter Brady, that has been very disruptive for Middle Tennessee State. And he won't actually be playing in the first half. So the story on Walter Brady is he's Middle Tennessee State's best pass rusher. He was a freshman All-American at Missouri in 2015 before transferring out to Middle Tennessee. He sat out last year, and then he was eligible this year. He's got two sacks through two games, and he's going to miss the first half against the Gophers because of a targeting call last week. But again, come that third quarter, this is a guy that I can tell you is going to want to get after the quarterback and make sure he leaves everything on the field. So Middle Tennessee State has had a lot of success in their front seven, too. They have 16 tackles for loss and seven total sacks through two games, again, against two quality opponents. So this is going to be a very big test for this offensive line, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've talked about this. We saw some progression from game one to game two in terms of the offensive line's maturation. But this is truly the big test, right? Especially given how stout they've been. Another thing that I'm interested to look at is, you know, right now the Gophers, by and large part, have basically only targeted Tyler Johnson and Demetrius Douglas in terms of wide receiver. Shannon Brooks is second on the team in targets at 10.5%. Everybody else is at 5.3% or lower. I'm interested to see if they actually distribute the ball a little bit better. I know part of it is due to rotations and stuff like that, but curious to see their approach, especially in the passing game as well, because that seems to be a weakness for Middle Tennessee State.
It is, since they've been so stout against the run, and you look at their 1-1, and they just barely pulled off a victory against the Orangemen last week. Where they are susceptible is through the pass, where quarterbacks through two games are completing north of 65% of their passes, which is pretty dang good. And then it's about 10 yards an attempt, too. So 10 yards of completion is going to do a lot of things for Minnesota. Now, they're going to have to be able to run the ball to set up the pass, which you've seen. That's why Tyler Johnson has had so much success on those two long plays. Is one of them was cover one, the other one was cover zero. So there's only one safety back, and there was no safeties back against Oregon State. So, and the reason, again, why that worked was Minnesota goes, in their RPO offense, Connor Rhoda fake hands off, all three linebackers in a nickel corner all suck in, which opens up the middle of the field where all Tyler has to do is make the catch, make a man miss, and turn on the burner. So Minnesota's going to have to run the ball somewhat, or else we're going to have to see Kirk Shiroka get a little bit more creative, because he knows better than anybody how good this Middle Tennessee State defense is. So Connor Rhoda's going to have a big day. And you mentioned it. Tyler Johnson has been targeted on 36% of Minnesota's passes so far this season. Demetrius Douglas is the next one at 23%. And then there's not a lot of targets to go around after that. It's pretty even, considering Tyler Johnson and Demetrius Douglas have accounted for, now if I'm doing my University of Minnesota math correct, just above 60%. So Tyler Johnson seems to be the vertical stretcher, where Demetrius Douglas is the guy that you're going to be having running bubble screens. Now, I think you're going to start to see some counters for both of them to make sure defenses are being held honest, but this is how Minnesota beats the Blue Raiders of Middle Tennessee State. They're going to have to do it more through the air. I don't think they can get away with only passing the ball eight times. Now, maybe they only pass the ball eight times through the first 18 minutes of the game, but Connor Rhoda is going to have to make some throws if Minnesota is going to beat Middle Tennessee.
All right, Ryan, one more thing on offense. So the Gophers, took a big step, I guess, in third down attempts from game one to game two. Again, this is, I think they were 9 for 13 or 9 for 12, something like that. I'm trying to do this off the top of my head. But, okay, what should we expect from here? I mean, I think 9 for 13 is pretty lofty. You probably aren't going to do that game in and game out. If you are, you're going to be probably leading the country. What can we expect, especially in this game on third downs?
Well, here's the thing. So Minnesota's offense is converting 48% of their third downs through two games, which again is fantastic. I don't know if it's sustainable, probably not sustainable, but Middle Tennessee's defense hasn't been very good against third down as well. Again, they're giving up north of 40% of their third downs. So again, it's a very interesting subplot to watch during the game. Is you all know now how bad Middle Tennessee State's offense is on third down, and now how bad their defense is on third down. Well, that plays right into the strengths of what Minnesota's offense and defense on third down have looked like. So I'm interested to see if it's third time's the charm for both teams, where that continues on that trend for Middle Tennessee and that continues on that trend for Minnesota. So Minnesota converting 48%. Middle Tennessee's defense is giving up 42% of third downs. And again, a pretty big sample size in terms of through two games for Middle Tennessee State's defense. They've had 38 third downs against them, and 16 have been converted. So Can Minnesota continue to move the ball on third down? Can Minnesota's defense continue to get off the field on third down? I mean, that's going to be a huge subplot to watch for this weekend.
All right, so we're nearing the bye week. It'll be week four, and that's usually a big recruiting weekend, Ryan. Are they doing anything recruiting-wise heading into that bye week in terms of maybe this game or, you know, preparing for traveling, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a lot of big-time visitors for Minnesota's first actual home game where the recruits can attend. Again, it was on the 31st of August for the home opener, and I don't believe recruits were able to come to that game because it wasn't September 1st yet. So you have a pretty big unofficial visitor list coming in, headlined by Quinn Carroll and Bryce Benhart, the two best recruits in the state of Minnesota for 2019, both offensive tackles, two guys that Minnesota would love to build that class around and get it off to a hot start. You also talk about a lot of Minnesota's commits that are going to be coming in. A couple from out of state would include Tyreek Henderson, the cornerback from Chicago, and then wide receiver from Georgia, Rashad Bateman as well, plus a host of, I think it's Minnesota's 5/2018 Minnesota commits. They'll be there. So again, there is going to be a pretty good unofficial visitor list. And then again, you talked about it. Once this game ends, Minnesota's going to finalize all their travel plans, which they've already done, but make sure everything looks good. So come Sunday morning, I anticipate all the coaches to head out on the road, and that means you all need to head over to Gopher Illustrated, because I can guarantee it's going to be a very entertaining week for PJ Fleck, especially him heading out to California on the 25th to go see one of their top targets. Who would that be? We've been talking about it on Gopher Illustrated all week. And oh, have I mentioned we are running a special from now until Friday evening where it's the first month is 90% off. So folks, it's for a dollar. Luke, what can you buy today with a dollar? Like a gumball?
Maybe Tic Tacs? I don't know.
So instead of when you're standing in the grocery line going to check out at the Cub, you know, think about it. Do I want these Tic Tacs or do I want to be on Gopher Illustrated? I think I would know the answer to that, especially with a bye week coming up, especially as Minnesota is probably going to be 3-0 heading into it. So a lot of good things going on, especially if you want to know on the basketball front as well. Ryan James has that thing covered.
All right, Ryan, we're getting to this bye week. Just one more recruiting question. I know that we talked about it earlier, but you had said that, you know, this staff's philosophy is basically, you know, in season, they don't do a lot of active recruiting. Is that, so the bye week is just crucial for them, right?
I don't know. I mean, they're extremely active in recruiting all the time, especially with PJ Fleck. Again, he's been texting.
Okay.
He texts a lot of kids every day now that especially 2019s are available to text legally.
Okay.
But again, the thing during the season is they just don't bring guys in official visits if they can help it.
Got it.
They want to save that for the second weekend of December this year and have a gigantic recruiting weekend with all of their commits in town, plus all of their top targets if they can help it. Again, they want to create that family atmosphere in December. They're not very worried about the weather. Again, they think that they can overcome that with the dynamic personalities they have on staff. Hopefully by then as well, that in December they'll have the Athletes Village finished, which again, a huge draw to show potential top targets. And then they also can have all the staff spend as much time as they can with each kid while he's on campus for 48 hours. So again, it's not a right or wrong philosophy. It's just a different philosophy from what Minnesota fans anywhere are used to.
Got it. Okay. Let's get into this, prediction for this Middle Tennessee State game. So currently, as we alluded to earlier, the Gophers right now are anywhere from a 10 to a 10.5 to 11 point favorite, depending on where you look. The over under is 51 points. I'll let you go first, Ryan. How do you anticipate this game going?
Well, here's another thing to watch for in terms of my number one key in my Gopher Illustrated article, spoiler alert, is a hot start to the game for Minnesota on both sides of the ball. Middle Tennessee State hasn't played very well offensively or defensively in the first half of games. They've only scored, I believe, 9 total points in the first half, and they've given up 34 total points in the first half of games. So if Minnesota is able to get out to a hot start, which they have in the first quarter through two games, they've scored double-digit points in both of the first quarters. If they're able to do that again against Middle Tennessee State, and if that trend holds for Middle Tennessee State's offense, again, I think that could be a very good thing in terms of determining game script. And maybe, maybe we don't want Middle Tennessee State trying to pass the ball everywhere around the field, but I think that's probably what they're going to be doing anyway. So If Minnesota can get off to a hot start, I would feel much better about this. But again, it's going to come down to those big boys up front. How many holes can they open for Rodney Smith and Shannon Brooks? And how successful can Minnesota's offense be? So, again, I think you're going to see more of a Kirk Ciarrocca offense in terms of a full game plan, because I don't think Minnesota's going to be able to sleepwalk through this game. Like, I wouldn't say they sleepwalked through Oregon State, but it was very easy for them to move the ball in the second half. So if they do that, win on third down and contain Richie James, I think it should be a fun afternoon for Gopher fans. Can we talk about how it was 92 degrees today in September?
Yeah, you know, I sat inside most of the day, so I didn't really get an idea of
that. Oh, my gosh. I went outside today a few times. I left the comfort of my own home for whatever godly reason here, and it was just disgusting. I thought it was the middle of July. And for any of my bow hunters out there, considering, again, my K-Fan mantra from PA, thankfully, is bow hunting Bernsie. Again, when you're looking at Saturday's forecast, which is the white-tailed deer bow opener, it's like disgusting. It's like 85 degrees and humid with a chance of rain.
Sounds like you're going to be in shorts on the deer stand.
It sounds like Ryan will be covering the game and not in a deer stand. And Ryan doesn't have a whole lot on his trail camera right now that is moving in daylight. So rather than trying to screw that up in the middle of September in 85 degrees, I think I'll wait till the third or fourth week in general of October and wait for that first cold front. So in terms of, let's get back to Gopher football, my prediction, I think Connor wrote it. I think he passes for multiple touchdowns in his first true game and a full game plan at Kirk Ciarrocca. I think Minnesota gets a couple of picks against Brent Stockstill. And I think that a Minnesota running back has a 40-yard plus run, and they take that for a touchdown. And again, you may not think that last one is bold, but Minnesota's long for their running backs right now is 17 yards. So I think Minnesota finally is able to break one up the middle, and they pull away 31-20.
All right, so when I look at this game, I guess what concerns me the most is I still maybe it's not fair, but I still have a lot of worries about the secondary. With Stockstill, especially if he plays, that's probably my biggest concern. The Gophers have to find a way to keep the ball in front of them and bend but don't break. That's the big key for me. Then I guess in the running game, for when the Gophers are on offense, we saw a small step from the offensive line, but I still think they have a ways to go. So how are the Gophers going to be able to produce offense, in some sort of balanced fashion with their passing game and their running game? Right now it's been basically all Tyler Johnson and Demetrius Douglas. We need to see somebody else step up and take a bigger role. I'd love to see them integrate Brandon Lingen a little bit more. But I do think the Gophers are going to prevail. My prediction would be 28-21 Gophers.
Either way, 3-0 heading into the bye week is a pretty good thing for Minnesota Golden Gopher fans, that's for sure.
Well, heading into the bye week, but also heading into our first game breakdown with Derek Burns.
Yeah, and again, for those of you who have been missing Derek's sweet and soothing voice coming through this podcast, we have confirmed with him on site that he will be joining us Monday night when we record. So Derek Burns, Elite Analysis. Again, if you haven't followed him on Twitter, I believe it's Derek_S_Burns. When he is actually back in the country, it's always fun to watch him break down games during halftime and then after the game as well. So, Luke, you want to take us on out before we talk to our listeners again on Monday?
Yeah, so I want to thank everybody again for listening. It's been fun to preview these games, and it's crazy how many people are listening, so thank you very much. Again, check out Ryan's work. His GIF breakdowns are about as good a coverage as you're going to get in Gopher football land. So if you're enjoying the podcast, again, share it with a friend. Also, please review it on iTunes and or Stitcher. We want to thank you for listening, and go Gophers.